Oh, it's Friday again. Welcome to it. Plenty to catch you up on today, Cavally.
Yeah, when have you been caught in your undies? Rosalie from Logan gives us a hoi, hoi, hoi. And look, there's just so much cricket on as well. It's just a lot of fun.
Hey, guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away. But what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts, there's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now, and let's get into the podcast.
Rosalie, good morning.
I love her.
What? No, you sound exhausted.
Oh, I am, baby cakes. Oh, my God.
Rosalie, what's going on in Logan? Why are you so exhausted?
No, I'm not in Logan. I'm at schoolie.
Oh, let's
see. I go every single year, and this year has just been so crazy. We had Mojito Monday, Tequila Tuesday, West Coast Cooler Wednesday, Thirsty Thursday, and tonight it's Flacker Friday. It's going to be huge.
Oh, well, you might need to calm down. What a week.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, tomorrow's a quiet night. Just going to have a glass of wine, a few vodka Red Bulls, some espresso martinis, and a big bowl of the devil's lettuce.
Oh, no.
Hey, lover, I need a full body rub down. I have got the biggest pains in some of my deepest crevices.
Yes.
So I've got some body butter. Can you come down and lather me in it, lover?
I'll be
like your little love crumpet, covered in body butter as it oozes over my crusty sides. Can you go to the body shop at Pacific Fair and pick some up, actually? I'm banned from there for an unfortunate incident in the fountain a couple of years ago.
Okay, that's not going to happen. You're probably better off getting a professional.
Shut up, Ashley. I got to go. Warwick Cab has just woken up and he wants his breakfast.
And
some food, if you catch my drift.
Thank you, Rosalie.
He
what a week.
He wants breakfast, but he also wants some food.
Okay.
Can you catch my drift?
We got your drift.
Actually, I haven't showered in a week. You should probably be able to catch my drift from the moon.
Oh, Jesus.
Thanks, Rosalie. I thought Love Crumpet was a bit much.
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this, just for you, for listening right now, Ovo will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract, and Ovo will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G, and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
Tell you what, I think we saw the future of Australian television last night, Ed.
Loved it. Something called Test Cricket. Mm. It was on at night in the pink ball test, and Marto, it was a wonderful day's Test Cricket.
Oh,
the chief villain, Faf du Plessis, scores a great 100 and then does a really clever declaration, which meant Davey Warner couldn't bat. It was so full of drama and excitement. I loved it.
Channel 9 played it like champions too. Like, there's not enough news to fill an hour, so they only went until 6:30, and at 6:31, this occurred, and I just went, I am a happy man.
Our first commentators for this evening's sessions of play are Shane Warne and Michael Slater.
Yeah, good evening, Michael Slater. Good evening, everybody. And, oh, what a sight it is, too.
Did you say at that stage, I went, oh, hi, Warnie. I just started speaking to the TV because Warnie addressed me. Good evening, viewers, that sort of style.
But also, you're right, the news got pushed back and I didn't miss it.
I did
not miss it at all. I tell you, Matthew Wade's back in the side. And we were happy because you and I were chatting off air about how chirpy he is. He was almost trying. He tried to start a fight with Faf du Plessis over running past him at one point. That was great. Umpires had to step in. There is one thing, though. Now, they all call Nathan Lyon Gary because of Gary Lyon, who's a Melbourne football
AFL
identity.
Yeah,
okay. They call him Gary. And I've put together a compilation of one of Nathan Lyon's overs See if you think Matthew Wade might need to, I don't know, freshen up his encouragement.
Nice, Gazza! Nice, Gaz, nice. Nice, Gazza! No! No, nice, nice. Oh, Gazza. Oh, good, Gaz! Nice, Gary!
That was 5 out of 5.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go with nice. The other one got smacked to the boundary. So yeah. It's
nice. Not so
and
nice, Gazza.
Gary. Nice and Gary. We need. Maddie, we might need a couple more words to describe Nathan's bowling. What did you make of the test?
Is it just us, Ed? Are we just a pair of cricket nuffies? I know you are, but it got me last night. Why can't we have live sport every night of the week and you engage blokes? Like, I can't watch TV half the time with all these reality shows, but now it gave me something. Live sport every night. If it doesn't have to be cricket, throw me football. One of the codes, whether it's football or whatever, needs to go every night of the week. Well, so Fox Sports do it, but there's, you know, they only just do the news.
We're talking about free to air. So what did you make of it? Were you loving the nighttime test last night? Are you loving the midweek sport? Paul, do you love the night cricket?
I'm digging at something hardcore, boys. The day-night test match, I'm actually going to the Gabba. I can't wait for that. But last night, ran inside, put the telly on, didn't even have a shower, poured a beer, sat down, watched the cricket. After that, went to bed after I had a shower and all that.
Yeah.
And the missus turned around and said, you're not watching that crap, are you?
Yeah, I got a lot of that too. I had to go downstairs.
But that's what
She ended up going downstairs and I ended up staying in bed and watching cricket.
Yeah,
we all live in multi-screen households, Paul. That's just the way it is. Sometimes viewing's going to split the house and the cricket's on.
Let's face it, free-to-air has been found out. There's usually nonsense on and finally they put something good on. People will watch it. I don't know who these people are. Have we got anyone? Michelle from Ipswich, are you a non-watcher? Michelle?
Michelle, you loving the cricket?
I'm loving the cricket.
Yes, good on you, Michelle.
I love it. And look, honestly, I've got a couple of issues. First issue, I take exception to Mardo saying that, you know, there should be sport on every night just for the blokes. I'd be quite happy to watch sport every night.
All right. I'm so sorry, and Michelle. It's White Ribbon Day today. And
that's okay.
I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have been generalised like that.
That's okay. The second thing. These women that are saying, oh, you're not watching that crap, rah, rah, rah. They should be happy that their men are at home and not out messing around. So if they're at home in front of the TV,
what do you mean messing around?
I know Michelle's brought up something interesting. Think about how many marriages nighttime cricket can save. That's what Michelle's saying. That's really a really good point, Michelle.
Blokes turn the TV on and X Factor's on. They go, I'm going to go out, somewhere and going to get onto Tinder. That's what happens.
Exactly.
It's breaking families up.
Might as well fire up the Tinder if I'm going to have to listen to Mel B say,
you wanted to boost talented singers I ever seen in my life.
How do we get on it?
I'm talking about X Factor. Great. I'm so glad X Factor looks like it might have stopped. Hey, notice to Channel 7, we've had enough of millionaires lying to teenagers about how good they can sing.
Let's get back to the cricket.
Those kids can't sing. They're terrible. Okay. And we don't need Iggy Azalea going, I actually really like your sound.
Okay. We don't want X Factor anymore. We
no one watches X Factor. We don't care. Stephen from Pullenvale, what do you reckon?
I disagree.
you're not a cricket fan.
Sports every night at all.
Oh, okay. Why not, man? Why not, Steve?
Because it's boring and it's stupid.
Oh, Steve. Yeah. Come on, Steve. Now, is this all sports, buddy, or is there any that get you?
No. They all get me. Trust me. But what I'm trying to point out is, and I've tried to point out this to people all my life, I don't get the point. There is no point to it. Every week, you've got boys putting footballs across line or hitting balls around the place, and then the next week they're doing the same thing. It's no different.
Yeah. I'm like that with swimming. I can't work out what the point of swimming is. Like
because it goes against the time. So someone's actually trying to beat a time. But with football, you're not trying to do that. It's not like there's an all-time record and, oh, wow, that was the best game ever played.
Ah, but what about this, Steve? The Leicester in the Premier League last year, they were 5,000-1 outsiders and they beat all of the teams that spend zillions and zillions of dollars. There's a narrative in that. It's fun to get involved in.
It's a fairy tale.
So one game out of how many are played?
Yeah, but you think about all the fairy tales that is sport, whether it's the Western Bulldogs, whether it's the Cronulla Sharks. I didn't like that fairy tale, but that's giving you a little bit of relief from how tedious life can be.
No, I think it's quite the opposite. I think that makes life how tedious it is. I think it's just like Roman gladiator sports. Ooh. I think what it's done is there for mass media. It's there to just support the masses.
So what do you do? You watch any telly?
No.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Fair enough, too. I see the point.
Well, there you
go.
Something for everyone. Thank you, Steve.
No worries.
You've won yourself a Suits box set, so you'll enjoy that, buddy.
No, you won't.
No, we don't really won't.
You're not winning that.
Yeah, we do have tickets. We've got tickets to the Rugby 10s, Ed, if you're, you're interested in this.
Steve has no interest.
He doesn't want to go to the Rugby 10s. That's fair enough. Thanks, Dave.
Bye. Mano and Ed and Triple M.
I tell you what, Australia's hero, I'm talking about this guy.
I jumped out of bed and all I had was my undies on, and I've walked out the front. I've seen the car smashed, and I've seen the bloke walking back to the car. And I said, oh, what are you doing, mate? Like, you can't be leaving the scene. And he goes, don't be a hero, mate. And I said, I'm not trying to be a hero, but the police are coming.
Page 9 of the Courier Mail. They're calling him Jockadile Grundy.
Yeah.
How good's that one?
That's a good one.
He's wearing a pair of boardies in this photo with Bob Marley's face all over them. He is Australian of the Year. He's an early favourite.
He is, and he's done exactly what we need every now and again for people to come to Australia. We need someone like this to emerge so that the rest of the world goes, see, that's what they're like.
All Australians are like that bloke.
Yeah, but it does lead to a topic that you've wanted to do for a long time, Marto. Yes, you finally got your excuse, which is...
When did you get caught in your undies?
Yes, caught in your undies. Now that you mean outside, don't you?
Outside, yeah, not inside. When have you gone to the servo just in your undies? Hmm. When have you gone anywhere? Where have you driven in your undies?
I got caught. I can't remember. Honestly, I don't think I've had a situation where I've been. I've had heaps of situations where I'll be like, you know, getting ready for a show or something, and then you're getting changed and someone, you know, Sam Pang or Peter Hellierstorm just barges in and then your ass is exposed to the half of Channel 10. But I figure they do it on purpose. God knows I do that to them on purpose.
I love wandering around in my undies. It's always funny. As long as you've got a tidy pair, it's when they've got holes in them that's embarrassing, or a scallop's popped out. You know, they're a bit loose around the luggage area.
Loose around the luggage?
I got caught one day just going to the letterbox, because I'll often walk around at home just in my undies and a shirt on, thinking you're okay. But letterbox and then a friend of Hilly's, when they come in, it's not good. You're getting 18-year-old girls catching you in your undies.
No. Yeah.
When have you been caught in your undies? Out and about somewhere? Something's gone on? Oh, dear. Oh, no. In the undies. Paul's from Logan. Paul, when were you caught out in your undies, buddy?
How you going, boys? I used to have a dirty old VN, and I went paintballing with one of my mates and that. And on the way home, he dropped me off at one of those where I had my car parked on the side of the road.
Yeah.
And I thought, because I was all dirty and sweaty, I thought I'd get changed and that. So in getting changed, I threw my clothes in, and then the door closed. And then when I went to open the door handle broke. And the only way to get in was through breaking the quarter panel. So I had to walk up the road to all the houses asking for a screwdriver so I could break into my own car.
And if you're listening 2 days ago, we discussed that the VN was one of the easiest cars to break into.
Yeah, not mine. And I was cleaning up that glass until the day I got rid of it. Oh. That glass just went everywhere.
What undies were they, though?
Oh, I can't remember. Probably me lucky red ones.
Yeah, right.
Me lucky red ones. Paul, please. Paul, you need to stay on the line. You're receiving a prize.
Can I just address Paul? Paul, did your mum, when we were younger, your mum used to buy your undies?
Yeah.
My mum, for years, just bought me 7 pairs of red ones at a time. It was so good. Life was beautiful every day.
My grandma's still buying them for me for Christmas.
Oh,
so,
wow. Yeah. Red?
No, I can't remember. Hey, I think they've just got monkeys and that on them now.
Send us a selfie if you can.
You're the best, Paul. State Paul's getting a prize. Actually, Brendan, what's Paul won? Paul's my type of guy.
Yeah, family pass to the Wonders of the World exhibition. It's wonderful, made entirely from Lego bricks.
That does sound interesting.
It's great.
He can go and put a pair of his monkey undies on the statue of David they got down there.
Cover up, Dave. Bingo.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Why is your name Bingo?
I was caught years ago by mates I ride motorbikes with not going to Easter weekend bike races and going to bingo with my wife to win money to go. So I've copped the flogging ever since.
Are we going to get that story and an undie story off you?
Yeah. Anyway, I was living in Canberra, lying on my bed one afternoon after work in my scrunners, and felt a pair of eyes peering through the back window.
What?
And I seen this bloke stand at the fence, so I took off out of the house and he hit the fence and went over it. I raced back inside and just grabbed my bike keys. Jumped on the bike, forgetting I was in my underwear, and took off down the laneways after him. I lost him, but I found two old people having a nice stroll for the day. And, yeah, sure enough, they caught me in my scrunters.
Yeah, now in the scrunters, what type of scrunters were they, Bingo?
Oh, they could have been my elephant G-string. I'm not too sure now. Oh,
wow. Yeah, well,
oh, my God.
It's a long time ago.
I'm sure it
so
is,
you
Bingo.
Reckon this bloke was looking through the window. Was he a potential burglar, or do you think he was getting excited looking at you, Bingo?
Canberra, potential pervert, probably. Yeah.
There's plenty of
Canberra. Potential pervert. Tina's with us. Hey, Tina from Logan Lea. When did you get caught in the underpants, Tina?
Well, it's not quite underpants, but I was painting, getting painters in to do the house outside, and my windows curtains were wide open, and I was just, like, sleeping in and just laying across the bed, stark naked, and I didn't realise that they were just standing on the platform that they were standing on,
trestles.
Looking in. I don't know how long they were there for.
Fair while, I'd say.
I'm pretty sure it's like... As soon as I seen him, I went, "Where's my sheet? Pull the sheet over." It's like, "My Lord."
Yeah, that's
didn't have to pay them for that day. That was their reward.
Exactly. Yeah. When you pulled the sheet on, Tina. When you pulled the sheet on, did they all pretend they to go back to work? What did they do?
Yeah, they just like looked away and.
Yeah, exactly.
I like went really red. It's like, oh my God.
That's every painter's dream, Tina.
Yeah. good on you, Tina. Thanks,
Tina.
Nice to speak to you. See you.
Don't be a pervy painter.
What?
What else is there? Ed, I know it's the off-season, but the NRL has been plunged into disarray after an extraordinary move by their furious clubs to sack chairman John Grant and blow apart the independent commission. What the hell is going on? Where do we head to when we need to know something?
Straight to our man, Josh Masood, Channel 7 chief rugby league reporter. G'day, mate. What on earth went on?
Oh, boys, it's all about the big cashola, the money. The clubs aren't very happy because John Grant, and what's more, he's a Queenslander guy. You guys should be particularly
I used to be his ball boy when he played for South and Queensland, and he played a couple of games for Australia in the early 70s. I was a ball boy.
And what, did he renege on your payment of a paddle pop as well?
Never passed the ball, mate. He was one of the great hogs as a centre.
Yeah,
you know those
players
who they don't set up their outside men, they just have a go and then take the tackle. That was John
Grant. Leopard don't change his spots, unfortunately. All these decades later, the clubs are very unhappy because 12 months ago, we had a similar situation, talk of a mutiny, the clubs wanting money to cover the salary cap, and John Grant looked them in the eye and promised them to say that with the new TV deal, which is worth about $1.8 billion, I'll give you 130% of the salary cap. So let's say next year the salary cap will be $10 million. Yep. I'll pay for all your players. The NRL will fund all that.
Jeez.
Plus 130%, another $3 million to run your operations because these clubs aren't very profitable. Not everyone is the Brisbane Broncos who are publicly listed and have a whole city to themselves. Sydney clubs are in a very crowded market. They struggle to survive. They don't have the rivers of golf and poker machines anymore. And basically, without NRL funding, they'd all be dead overnight. So they've really relied on this promise from John Grant. There was a big meeting on Wednesday down in Sydney. They'd be very anxiously waiting for confirmation of this because at the moment, as we stand, none of the 16 clubs have signed participation agreements beyond next season.
What does that mean? They want to pull the competition, could be blown apart, or they're just bluffing?
Well, at the moment it's bluff, but technically beyond next season they're free agents. They're all entities unto themselves, and they could start a new competition if they wanted once those agreements expire. So they are refusing to sign them unless Grant comes good on this promise. He looked them in the eye on Wednesday and said, "We can't do it anymore." The reason the NRL doesn't want to give the clubs as much money as it originally promised, guys, if you head Bush, the game is dead set dying. It is in shocking condition.
Really?
Well, the Victorian border via a football code measurement has basically moved up to Goulburn in New South Wales.
Righto.
You see AFL posts creeping silently northward. In Queensland, the game is quite healthy.
Yeah, it sure is. Mate, up here, the game is real healthy everywhere, I would have thought.
Yeah, Queensland's great, but there's real concerns in New South Wales. the game has dropped the ball massively, fallen asleep at the wheel, while the AFL has made huge inroads. So they want to invest quite a lot of money into a bit of a fight back there. And the clubs are saying, well, no, you promised us. We've made our budgets.
Yeah.
And we can't do this anymore. So they're preparing to lodge a letter of no confidence in John Grant.
Josh Masood, Channel 7 Chief Rugby League reporter. This is obviously a very serious issue. There's one way to solve some of this. You could halve the salaries of players today after the next agreement and you would still find people to play the game.
That's right.
Yeah, but then you'd get a great boost for French rugby and European rugby because they'd all
just go overseas.
Yeah, that's
fine. If someone said to me, I'll halve your salary... Or said to you guys, I'll halve your salary. I'm sure we'd go find elsewhere to work.
Josh, this would surprise you, but Ed and I would come into work every day for nothing. We love our jobs.
All right, Josh.
Did you record that?
Yeah, I got it.
Chief Rugby League reporter for Channel 7. We'll keep an eye on this because this is this could be trouble. We could be looking at Super League 2. Thankfully, I still have my Western Reds jerseys ready to wash and ready to get back out there.
I've got my Hunter.
Mariners?
Mariners.
I've got my Rams jersey.
My Adelaide Rams jersey. Oh, come on, boys. That's fine.
See you, Josh.
See you, guys.
Team Moto Motorcycles, full of Christmas presents riders really want.
I think I've discovered a phenomenon. Are you ready? I've never seen this in any papers. There's probably someone who researched this at university. My mate lives next door, has done for 19 years. Dave, I've spoken about Dave. You've never met him, but he's just a quiet, hard-working guy. It was his 50th on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. It was a big day. His wife had been saving up. No one knew. At 3:30, she rang me in the arvo. She said, are you coming home soon? I said, yeah. I need a hand. I said, righto. She hadn't told anybody. She'd been saving for more than a year, putting money away without him knowing, and bought him a ute.
Wow.
Bought him a Hilux that had done 17,000 Ks because his went under a few years ago. His car went under in the floods. No electricals he's had. All right. So what a day. What a wife. All right. She'd already given him a new pair of thongs and a pair of Oakley Sunnies. What a day he's had.
Wow.
All right. And then I said, oh, that's fabulous. And we all cheer. He's gone, what's with the ute? And I tried to pretend it was a new one of mine because we parked in his backyard. He came over and said, oh, it's just a loaner. I got Dave. And then we went, no, here's your ute. And she happy birthday to him and everything like that. Oh, it's wonderful. I said, what are you blokes doing tonight? And, oh, we're going to go out to dinner and stuff. They went to the Jamie Oliver restaurant. Hell of a busy. Yeah, I got the report on it yesterday. But the big thing is I caught him about 6:30 or so. I look out my window and she was already ready, dressed and ready to go to the Jamie Oliver restaurant, and all their kids were going and stuff. He still had his high-vis gear on. I just went, hey, Dave, you're 50, mate. Go back in there and put on some of those nice clothes when you're going out, you're proper going out. He said, I didn't get much dirt on it today at work. Dave. It was a pretty quiet day. No. Now, here's my phenomenon. And I thought, Dave's one of them, and I thought, I think every bloke is one of them. Classy wife, bogan husband. Is there any relationship where the husband isn't a bigger bogan than the wife? Think about yourself. You're in there. I'm there. Every single person I could think of, the wife is classier than the husband. Correct?
Even Melania versus Donald.
Classy. He's a bogan. She's classy. Is there anyone can dispute that, or can any wife ring up and go, yeah, my husband's a bigger bogan than I am. That's all I want to hear.
That's nice. That type of thing. I
married a girl from
out.
Rocky, and I'm still the biggest bogan in the conversation.
That's saying something.
I know.
The type of thing we're looking for is, we went out to dinner and he tried to wear his high vis.
That's right.
We were going overseas and he was packing and all he had was thongs and one pair of shorts.
That's the stuff I'm after.
And Steph.
Come on,
Steph,
mate.
Who are you engaged to? Steph, what type of individual?
I am engaged to an ex-farmer. He's not now. He's very proud of that.
Yeah.
Yes. Is he more bogan than you, Steph? What did you have to do?
Okay. So just to take me out on a date when we first got together, because he just decided to live on site because it's the thing to do. So he lived in his high-vis. He had to actually go and buy a car to take me out on a date. And he went and bought a good hoodie, which is still to this day his good hoodie, which he will wear, tries to wear to weddings, tries to wear to everything. if it's not Jandals, it's not on. We just don't even go places where you can...
So he doesn't own any enclosed footwear?
No. Oh, maybe one pair, which I don't think I've ever seen the light of day on them.
And you love him, don't you? And you love him, don't you, Steph?
Yeah, with all my heart, yeah.
Oh, you're so cute, Steph. That's perfect. There's no such thing as a good hoodie. I try that with my wife. But it's my good hoodie. Nope, it's not.
Yep, there is a lot of you in that, in Steph's fiancée. What about Denise from Rochdale? Is it true? Is every woman classier than their husband?
Of course they are. His wardrobe consists of Broncos gear. Winter, it's Broncos tracksuit.
Yeah.
Summer, it's the T-shirt and the Broncos shorts. He doesn't wear anything but that. We went to my family's in New South Wales and he wore Broncos gear. My mum said, you are a daredevil. You know, you're in New South Wales.
Yeah,
I'm proud of it.
Yeah, he's right. Living on the edge.
Good. That's right. I've been saying for a long time that the Broncos need to release a tuxedo so that blokes have got something to wear to events. Thank you, Denise.
Imagine
Carmen.
That.
Carmen's from Alex Hills.
So I've got a bogan husband.
Yep.
66 years of age, and he still has his clothes in the wardrobe since he was 18.
Same gear.
When we go out for dinner, he says, is this shirt okay? Oh, yeah, fine. Very old-fashioned. He's a thong and beer man.
Yeah.
And his rubber thongs I hide now. So when he goes out, he puts on his jeans or his shorts. He says, where are my rubber thongs? Sorry, I don't know where you've put them. So he's forced to wear his shoes and socks to look decent.
Carmen, has he got a pair of going out thongs, Carmen?
Every Australian man needs to be dressed decently. Yeah. When they take out their wives.
I spend a lot of time on myself,
and he is the number one bogan husband in Alex Hills, but I love him.
And that's something. If you're the number one bogan husband in Alex Hills, you're going a fair way. You are going a fair way to set a record, and we appreciate that, Carmen. Thank you so much.
Susan from West Lakes. Susan, just first, does your husband have a going out pair of thongs?
No, he has a going out pair of volleys.
Oh, Dunlop volleys.
Yeah.
The most important event that he's ever worn volleys to?
Yeah, a wedding.
Just in case a game of tennis breaks out, that's always handy. Or some roofing needs done at the wedding.
Yeah, pretty much. They were full of holes. He called it, you know, his inbuilt air conditioning.
I always say that.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
But I did make him go home between the wedding and the reception to put on his proper shoes.
And
so,
how angry was he at that? How annoyed at that?
No, he just laughed. He thought it was hilarious.
Is he a bogan, Susan?
Oh, he is. Yeah. He is. He's Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
There's something endearing about the bogan husband, isn't there, Susan? There's something cute about it, isn't it, you know?
There is. We laugh about it now. I wasn't laughing at the time when we were in the middle of the service and I looked down and saw the volleys.
The thing is, a bloke who wears volleys to a wedding, he's not going to have an affair.
That's very true.
No one's going to want to boing him.
Mind you, he does threaten to leave me every time I throw out a pair of volleys.
Well, that's fair enough.
He does. You and he need to go to counselling.
Come on, Susan.
Thank you, Susan.
All right. All blokes are bogans.
Our schoolies week coming to an end, fellas.
Marta, you're going to pick up your son. When are you going to pick up your son?
Apparently 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. They've got to be out. And I've got a friend, a mum who's also got kids down there. She's going down at 6:30 to clean their unit.
Oh, so they get their bond back.
So they get their bond back. That's their worry. Surely you've got to just say, no, all these mums are organising to meet outside their apartments and go up and clean their unit. That's not a goer, is it?
No, well, that's the problem with the youth, mate. Let's go to our schoolie of the year, as reported by the news. And we've had real trouble this year. To be honest, we've had real trouble.
Schoolies used to be fun, didn't they?
It used to be wild, and well, now it's like this.
Whatever happens, happens. Get on the drugs, do whatever.
Oh, apart from him.
Come on.
That was just
He
thinks he's a party guy, whereas you get these guys, they are such a relaxed group this year.
Just a bit of fun after school, you know, just kick back, reminisce everything.
Yeah, he would have been watching the cricket yesterday instead of going to a beach party, wouldn't he, that kid?
Well, can they fire up? Is there any? What about this? What about this schoolie? They must be fired up.
Log out before you go out. That's what I always say.
Oh, my God.
Now it's a public safety message.
Somebody's removed the personality from the 2016 schoolies.
Is there anyone fired up? What about this bloke?
Partying hard and hanging out with all of our friends.
And much
sleep. And shopping.
Jesus.
Sleeping? Girls. Shopping? Come on. Get a Slurpee into you and fire up. For God's sake. Nah, I can't find... Oh, hold on. This is a good one.
Mum, I love you. Mum, you see this? I'm loving you.
Yeah.
That's
proud,
not bad.
Proud mum. Can you imagine a mum at home? Oh, Dales, what's this? He's Ryan on. Oh, yeah, okay.
He's loving us, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, it's reluctant. I am so reluctant to award it to... but it has to reflect the competition. You know those years where the Academy Awards, there's not that many good films, but they still have to give out Best Picture?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's where we're at this
year.
Well,
we've got the trophy. Catholic. We have to give it away.
Hang on.
What?
Wasn't there one a couple of days ago you really enjoyed?
Yeah, have you got... Is he back?
Well, I thought you wanted to give him Schoolie of the Year.
Have you got him? Did you find him?
Is it this guy?
Drink. It's wicked.
Cheap. Awesome.
Cheap.
Yeah. Okay, give it to him one more time.
He's got it.
Drink. It's wicked.
Cheap.
Awesome.
Cheap.
He's done it. Future leader of Queensland there.
Your schoolie of the year. Drink.
Drink. Everything's pause. Cheap. And then his mate goes, really cheap. Well done, sir. Motto, it is White Ribbon Day today. Of course, White Ribbon, of course, is where we stop and people reflect and talk about the terrible issue of domestic...
It's men saying, not violent, and I'm not going to be silent as well. I've got my armband on.
Mm-hmm.
I swear to commit, never excuse or remain silent about violence against women. It's a great day, and it's something that happens in a lot of people's lives.
Yeah, that's right. And we're joined now by Di Mangan. We've spoken to Di a couple of times, who is the CEO of DV Connect Crisis Support Queensland. The 24-hour statewide domestic violence hotline is 1-800-811-811. You can call that number anytime if you think you might need some help. Hello, Di. Nice to have you with us.
Good morning.
Just for people who don't know, just if people are thinking that they might... need to reach out to someone. What is some of the work that DV Connect does?
We have two major groups of women who phone us. They're all living in domestic violence, but some don't need our help to get to safety. They've got their own financial means and they've got their own family supports, but they need to know the starting point to look for protecting themselves and their children. Then we've got a group of women who desperately need us to get them to safety. So that's the major part of work that we do. So the major clientele for DV Connect Women's Line particularly are women who are unsafe. And as to what they want from us depends on what their own resources are. Some women need us to get them out of the state completely because it's just too unsafe for them to be anywhere near where he could find her, because there's a percentage of men who will stalk to the end.
Well, we've seen that. So, tragically, Di, we have seen these stories even somewhat recently in the news.
Yeah, that's true.
Di, do you see that White Ribbon Day and the focus it shines on domestic violence, is that helpful?
Yeah, absolutely, because it is the first male-led initiative that came after the execution of female engineers in Canada. And the fact is we've got all of our men's line here today. They're at the front table. We have three board members who are men, and we have eight men who work on men's line and in the courts with men. So they are taking pride of place today. This is the one time of the year where the women from DV Connect stand behind the men.
All right, DV Connect, CEO of DV Connect, Di Mangan, that number again, 1-800-811-811. Do absolutely fantastic work. 24 hours a day, they are available. And whiteribbon.org.au to find out more about the oath and what you can do to help put an end to domestic and family violence. Thanks so much, Di. Always nice to speak to you.
Wonderful, thank you.
Every time we have Ross Greenwood, Channel 9's money expert, on, what does he say?
Ask whoever you've got your mortgage with, check with them and change providers. You'll find that they're low interest rates. You can get even lower if you change. He's always saying, change your mortgage.
Yep. And so I thought to myself, I'm going to do it.
You said you were. Did you do it?
Yep, I did it. Yeah. I went to the bank and I said, now listen, you, I'm thinking about leaving
this
here.
This is why you were at the bank the other day. Yeah.
And they were like, well, okay, let's talk about that, shall we? And I got a reduction in my variable rate.
It worked.
Yes. It wasn't down to, 0.1%, but it was a decent, I'll notice.
It was worthwhile.
Mortgage repayments are now less.
So you throw along and threaten your bank you're going to leave, they will help you out. Because I went the other side of the coin, and Ross Greenwood always says to us, change your bank, change your mortgage provider. Mm-hmm. He went and did it, and he said the mountain of paperwork took him a day to do. There was absolutely oodles. Because on the news the other night, they had the story about, they were talking about how expensive power was, and everyone knows that it's gone up incredibly in the last few years. And they said the same thing. Look to other electricity providers. Like, I'm just with Origin. And I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. It'll be too much trouble. It's too hard.
It feels too hard. And and my wife announced yesterday, because we're going overseas.
I can't believe you've nailed it.
She wants to do some sort of overseas roaming or something. When she said the word roaming, I went, no, you're not. So she's announced last night, I think to try and get my attention off the cricket, that she is changing phone providers today. Her mission today is to change phone providers for a better deal. I said, I want no part of this.
I got caught up in a wicked one. I tried to do that 18 months ago, and I've done it. Just completed my discussion / argument / yelling about 2 weeks ago. Mate, it's a pain in the ass changing service providers. Or maybe there's a secret we don't know about.
Let's go. Who else, which other brave souls have endeavoured to try and get themselves a better deal?
The experts are always saying it's a good idea, but is
always.
It?
Have you tried to confront your mortgage broker, your phone provider, your Foxtel, your electricity
provider?
Have you tried to confront people and have you got a better deal? Scott from Capera, do you do this, mate? Do you try and get a better deal?
Mate, every time, mate. I actually spend every 6 months I sit down, get all my Telstra or my Foxtels, get all the bills out, go through them, give them a call and just say, look, I'm a loyal customer. I've been with you for a long time. I want a better deal. Mate, they sort you out.
Do they really?
I've got Foxtel in the shed for free, full sports coverage. I got full package Foxtel for, nearly $45 a month.
What?
Anybody that's got it knows that it's quite expensive.
Yeah,
and you just keep hammering. You got to keep hammering, mate. So I just ask to speak to the magic word is retention. There you go. You ask to speak to retention, and retention will do anything for you.
Retention. Hold on. I'm writing that down because I want Foxtel in my shed.
Scotty, that's a great tip. Well done, Scotty. Thanks, buddy. That is retention. We've already learned something.
So just ask the question. Tegan from Lutwidge, have you found the same sort of thing?
Yeah, I went to change my electricity from Origin to Click Energy online, and I just filled in my details online. They called me and they said, all right, we'll set it up. We'll talk to Origin. You don't have to do anything. Origin called me within a couple of days and offered me a 10% discount on my supply and usage. And I got about $120 to $150 off every quarter.
All right, that's
massive.
Oh, my God. So, Tegan, rather than people sit on their phones looking at Instagram or Snapchat for 35 minutes, they could fill out this form and they could save themselves some money. That's a great call, Tegan.
You're saying, but she was trying to get away from Origin. They found out. They've hit back at her without her ringing them. Mm.
Yeah.
This is unreal.
Okay. Thank you, Tegan. Here comes David from Upper Kedron. Dave, what do you do, buddy? Get a better deal. How do you get a better deal?
Yeah, g'day, Marto. G'day, Ed. I'm with Marto on this. I can't really stand doing the paperwork. So me and my neighbour, we work in tandem on, like, the gas companies and stuff. And so he says, oh, I get it for this much. So I get it for... And then the gas company always comes in and beats it by $5. And then we just bounce them down, all the way down.
That's unreal.
That's great.
How long does it take you? Like, how much trouble, Dave?
To be honest, we've been going for about 3 months now. We've, like, slowly got them down about $30, $40 a bottle.
That's huge. That's a big difference, Dave.
Yeah, but I guess they pick up on it if you do it every week. So, once a month I ring up when I order my bottle and say,
Where do you live, Dave? You're still on LPG bottles.
Yeah, Upper Kedron, all the new areas.
Oh, you don't have town gas. Righto.
Nah.
That's brilliant. So everyone take note.
Thanks, Dave. Who's this, sir? They've got
Kieran.
Kieran from Redbank Plains. Hey, Kieran, have you got a better deal, mate? How'd you get it?
Yeah, mate, Foxtel. Tell them you want the box out. Tell them get rid of it. And they will drop their price by half and give you all the extras, mate.
So you ring them and threaten to leave and they're nice to you?
Basically, yeah, because they want to keep you as a customer. Same with Setanta Sports for the European football and stuff.
Yeah.
That was $30 a month. We wanted it out, and they reduced it to $5 a month.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
Are you writing all this down? This is unreal.
Kieran, that is fantastic. And then we could watch all the hurling we can muster.
that's it. Men are men.
Men are men.
Good luck with Ireland against the Wallabies Saturday night, mate.
Claire from our newsroom. Hi, Claire.
Good morning, guys.
You've joined us to talk more about Dreamworld, about when it may possibly open again. Now, they've been issued with, what are they? They're 7 improvement notices from safety. What are they actually called?
Yeah, so there's 10 notices all up. 7 of them are improvement notices, like you said. So they're kind of the less serious on the scale. So they're kind of things like, the guys running the flow rider need to have some protective gear while they handle the pool chemicals, those sort of things. Better electrical
tagging. I love the flow rider.
Okay. Yeah, it's a good one.
I could spend all day there.
There are three other notices, though, that are classed as probation notices. So they're more serious. That's if an inspector thinks that there's imminent danger.
Right, a quiz question for everyone. It's been closed for 30 days, I think, now, hasn't it, since
today.
The incident. How much do you reckon they're losing per day? This is a quiz question. I know the answer.
I know the answer too.
All right, well.
Oh, well, then it's just me. It's just Ed. It's just Ed's go. And Ed says $1 million a day.
Incorrect. $300,000 a day they're losing. Mm-hmm. And I drive past there. I've driven past there about half a dozen times. Why is there still 200 cars in the car park every day? What are they doing?
Well, that's the thing. That's all of these safety inspectors. So this inspection and these 10 notices have come from Workplace Health and Safety Authority, right? Still on site at the moment, you've got to keep in mind, is the state government's auditors. Mm. Plus, of course, there's still staff members on site. So they're doing maintenance, looking after the animals, those kinds of things.
Oh, yeah. Tiger Island's still got to go on, etc.
And they're trying to keep all the animals in normal kind of processes.
Let's just get it open. Why can't White Water World open? I looked at it the other day. I know, respect and all that, but it's now been 30 days. They reckon I've lost $10 million. Poor buggers.
That's it. And so they're going to have to improve all of these 10 points, even these kind of small, what seems to be minor issues. They have to improve all of them before they'll even consider reopening. Then, of course, the state government has to finish their audit before the reopening can happen, and that's when we'll start looking at the possibility of it.
Ed, did you see the Thunder River Rapids? You know how they got those crash test dummies and tried it? They couldn't. Yeah. They tried to reenact what occurred. They couldn't get it to happen again.
Gosh, that just makes
so it was just a freaky, freaky day. Can't we move on?
Yeah, well there's people on both sides, though. That's the thing. So it's just going to be a matter of trying to tick these boxes to make sure, you know, you can't.
Is it affecting tourism? Has anyone done any analysis on that? Like, is it affecting people? Because we are the theme park joint.
And the other theme parks too have, you know, there were reports out, must have been a week or so ago, of numbers down up to a third just for the other theme parks.
Don't you need to go somewhere? Like, people want to go somewhere.
Wouldn't they take the slack up?
It's that fear. It's that fear because, like you say, the Thunder River Rapids ride is kind of the tame one. It's the one that the elderly go on, the children go on. And so now freaked out now about the big ones.
All right. Well, we shall see what happens because everyone's got relatives who start showing up. I mean, you know, saying, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? So let's hope that somehow, somewhere over summer, they can find the right balance of, you know, being respectful, Marto, and getting the park open.
Well, so respect, it's been a month. Surely it's time to reopen.
All right, thanks, Claire.
No worries.